The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are those of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of 1480 KPHX or our sponsors.
Welcome back to Exopolitics Radio. This is your host, Alfred Weber. This is Progressive Talk Phoenix, Nova M Radio Network, www.1480kphx.com. This week, we have Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project and Dr. Carol Rosen in yet another key exopolitics program, Exopolitics, a True ET Landing or an anti-ET false flag operation. Dr. Stephen Greer is the director of the Disclosure Project, and he will be talking to us about how G7 and other nations are now preparing for a true extraterrestrial landing, whereby the Disclosure Project will precipitate a landing by an extraterrestrial craft, which will involve the Air Force of that nation, so that they can precipitate a meeting with the representatives of that nation. At the same time, Dr. Greer will be talking about the U.S. military intelligence preparations. This is the flip side of the coin, folks. Preparations for an anti-extraterrestrial false flag operation. And this leads into our official Exopolitics Radio commentary, in which I'm joined by my co-director at the Institute for Cooperation in Space, Dr. Carol Rosen, in the form of a rebroadcast of her May 9th, 2001 Disclosure Project testimony, which took place at the Disclosure Project Press Conference, National Press Club, Washington, D.C., setting out Dr. Wernher von Braun's whistleblower warnings about a coming false flag war on terror and false flag war against, quote, the hostile ETs. So let's hear now from Dr. Carol Rosen at the Disclosure Project press conference, the 19th disclosure witness on May 9th, 2001.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosen. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, "Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space." And I said, teachers don't stop until June. He said, "No, you have to understand. This is February. And we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies," he said, "against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids." And then he would repeat to me over and over, "And the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat." Well, at the time, I kind of laughed when he said asteroids, and when he said extraterrestrials, I knew I wasn't going to deal with that subject. And now we hear on the news just today, this week, that they've slid in another enemy. Only this time we're going to protect our satellites. In other words, we have to have some reason to spend these trillions, to waste these dollars on a space-based weapon system, and they're all lies. This is a system, he told me, that would never protect anyone. Even back then, he talked about suitcase bombs. He talked about chemical, viral, bacterial, biological warfare that these space-based weapons would never protect us against. And then he told me that, in fact, if you travel around the world, which I did after he died in 1977, I met with people in over 100 countries who were friends. They didn't want to build space-based weapons. I became a space and missile defense consultant. And I worked with people around the world. I became an advisor to the People's Republic of China. They don't want to build a space-based weapons system. And he told me back then that they didn't. He said, go to Russia. They're considered to be the enemy. I got on a plane by myself. When I got to Russia, I had a list of people that I had read out of the newspaper. Chernenko was in office then. He was the only one I didn't get a chance to meet. They introduced me to everyone when I got there. And when I got back, I said, oh, my Lord, this man is telling the truth. There is no threat. And I've been waiting until this day for 27 years, and I'm expecting the spin to happen, because he also explained to me that as a military strategist, as a person who worked on the MX missile, which I did later, he said, you will find that there is going to be a spin to find some enemy against whom we have to build space-based weapons. And now we should expect the spin, because he said part of the formula for the intelligence community is if they might have a weapon, then we have to consider that they do have these weapons. So now they do have these weapons, so now we have to build these weapon systems. And that's the formula, except that it's all based on a lie. And we have witnesses here today that have shown you that these extraterrestrial beings, that these craft that have come here are now not UFOs, they're identified flying objects. And we know that they have beings in them. And we have witnesses here who have told you that they can shut down our missile silos. They can stop a rocket going into space that's a test. We have witnesses here who have worked in the classified departments, who have the courage to come forward here to support what Wernher von Braun told me back in 1974 to 77. And I will testify before the Congress that when I founded the Institute for Security and Cooperation in Outer Space, which I shut down a few years ago because I didn't believe we had a chance with this huge, integrated around the world, complex weapon system, that we had any chance at all of transforming that war industry into a space industry that could provide benefits, like Dr. Greer has said, of global warming. We can end that situation of that problem. We can end the energy crisis. We can build now non-polluting technologies. Wernher von Braun used to tell me that we could have cars back then that drove around off the ground. He described this to me on beams, so that we have no pollution on this planet. And we can solve the problems of the people that are urgent and potential, and the other animals and the other cultures on Earth and in space. And we can end the arms race without dislocating the industry jobs, without disrupting the economy, by transforming, Wernher von Braun told me, the war industry into a global cooperative space industry that will provide, he said, finally, more jobs and profits on this planet than during any hot or cold wartime, more products and services that can be applied directly to solving the problems of this planet. And we can have a whole planet now that lives in peace on Earth, with all the cultures on Earth and with all the extraterrestrial cultures in space. And these are words that Wernher von Braun told me in 1974. And I will testify before the Congress under oath about everything I have said and more. Thank you.
Well, that was Dr. Carol Rosin, president of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. She is now in ISIS's Vilcabamba, Ecuador office. The ISIS website is www.peaceinspace.com, and the website for the Space Preservation Treaty signing is www.peaceinspace.org. And those of you who want to be in contact with Dr. Carol Rosin, who is now organizing a space preservation treaty signing, hopefully with the newly inaugurated president of Ecuador, President Rafael Correa, who has indicated that he is supportive of Ecuador's becoming a signatory to the Space Preservation Treaty to ban all weapons in space, and to perhaps Ecuador being a nation that brings together a caucus of space-friendly nations to initially sign the Space Preservation Treaty, ratify it, and deposit it with the UN Secretary General as a treaty depositary. The Space Preservation Treaty goes into effect when five nations have signed and ratified it and deposited with the UN Secretary General as treaty depositary under Article 102 of the United Nations Charter. This is the exact number of nations under which the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which prohibits weapons of mass destruction in outer space, went into effect. So you can see that Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was in fact a whistleblower and who tried to organize escapes by fellow scientists and their families from the Third Reich rocket facility at Peenemünde, and was a whistleblower, in fact, during his lifetime, came out and warned humanity through Carol Rosen about a coming false flag, quote, war on terror, which we can now recognize as the war on terror that we're currently in, started by the false flag operation known as September 11th, 2001, in which, by the best evidence, a black budget operation of elements of the U.S. military intelligence and others under the direction of then Secretary of Defense Donald H. Rumsfeld, the sitting Vice President Richard B. Cheney, and the sitting President, U.S. President George W. Bush, did commit Article 3 high treason under the U.S. Constitution and carried out a false flag operation, making it appear as though the U.S. Pentagon and the U.S. World Trade Center were under military attack, when in fact it was a false flag. They were under military attack, but not by, you know, Al-Qaeda or other terrorists, but by elements of the black budget U.S. military itself. It is a foregone conclusion that it was not an airplane, but it was a cruise missile that hit the Pentagon, and we know that from the radiation signature of the Pentagon. There were Geiger counters brought there that day, and the depleted uranium in the warheads gave the signature of the radiation warhead, something which an airplane cannot do. And what Dr. Wernher von Braun said is that there would be a false war against the asteroids. Yes, let's make outer space really dangerous. Oh, these, you know, near-Earth objects are going to hit us. You know, so we have to invest more in space-based platforms and space-based weapons. But what these are really going to be used for is a false flag, quote, war against the hostile extraterrestrials. And this is what the former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister of Canada under Pierre Trudeau, the Honorable Pierre Trudeau, one of the great Canadian prime ministers, the Honorable Paul Hellyer warned against in a speech in 2005 at the University of Toronto, when he stated that the U.S. Space Command is in fact preparing space-based weapons to start an interplanetary war with advanced, ethical, extraterrestrial civilizations who are here to help us, not against us. So that is the show that we have for you today. Dr. Stephen Greer, Director of the Disclosure Project, as you've just heard, Dr. Carol Rosen. Once again, it seems as though the fundamental talent or the fundamental personal quality that we're being asked for in these times is discernment, that inner quality of being able to recognize the truth from the falsehood, the true ET landing from an anti-ET false flag operation. This is Alfred Weber with another Exopolitics Radio official commentary. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wow. welcome. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio Network. On the internet, we're at 1480kphx.com. Our audio archives are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a very special guest, Dr. Stephen Greer, MD. Dr. Greer is the director of the Disclosure Project, which has identified and gathered testimony for more than 400 high-level military intelligence and governmental witnesses regarding the extraterrestrial presence. The May 9, 2001 Disclosure Project press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. was witnessed by more than 250,000 persons via internet broadcast, which was a record at that time. Dr. Greer is the author of Extraterrestrial Contact, Disclosure, and Hidden Knowledge, Forbidden Truth. He is a medical doctor specializing in trauma medicine and is the former chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Caldwell Memorial Hospital in North Carolina. And I'd like to add a personal note here. Both myself and Dr. Carol Rosin, who's my co-director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space, were Disclosure Project witnesses, and it is a very proud moment in each of our lives. It was the first time that each of us got to tell our stories, our individual stories as governmental and or high-level corporate witnesses to the extraterrestrial reality. So we're all very grateful to Dr. Stephen Greer for having initiated the Disclosure Project, and we're grateful for him to be here today on Exopolitics Radio. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you. Very great to be here and great speaking with you again, Alfred.
Well, you know, I came across a very interesting talk of yours at the, I think it was at the L.A. Whole Life Expo, in which you stated that there was a possibility that you were working with a G7 nation now actually to precipitate an event landing of an extraterrestrial craft and even possibly work with their Air Force. I don't know if I'm misspeaking here. And if this all happens, perhaps even that this would lead to a meeting between the extraterrestrial delegation in that craft and the leadership of that G7 nation. And I was wondering, I know that these are very sensitive matters, but if you could share some of that background with our Exopolitics Radio audience.
Well, I think what I'd like to clarify is that for about 15 years, we have had liaison with a number of governments and who are quietly very supportive of disclosure and of the release of this information, but also of open contact. And as you know, beginning in the early 90s, we had a something called the CE5 initiative, a Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind initiative, which is where we go out and initiate protocols to make contact with these extraterrestrial vehicles and their occupants. And this has been studied very closely. In fact, when I first met with the Director of Central Intelligence for President Clinton in 1993, the reason that meeting happened is that a good friend of the CIA director's, as well as a good friend of the President at the time, President Clinton, were aware that we had made contact on a beach in Florida and that four of these extraterrestrial vehicles had appeared, were filmed and interacted with us, and contact was made. And so a lot of people know, of course, what we've done with the Disclosure Project. What they don't realize is that there's been this long-standing diplomatic initiative based in the concept of peaceful contact with these visitors that goes back now more than 15 years. So in that context, we have had, I want to clarify here, more than one major country very recently approach us about assisting as the primary contact team to initiate this sort of open diplomatic contact and to basically regain the future of what we could have had starting in the 1950s when contact was made but was then mishandled and fumbled by the military-industrial complex of the United States and Great Britain. And I think that, without going into hours of historical overview, people need to understand that essentially, this subject has been taken into a very compartmented and illegal operation, and that Eisenhower and his crowd far from the mythology that there was some sort of open pact created, they lost control completely of this. We know for a fact Eisenhower died a very angry and bitter man over the fact that he was strong-armed out of control of this issue. And that's why when he left office in 1961, he said, beware the military-industrial complex, because it can become a threat to our security and to our democratic way of life. So I think that the history over the last 50 years, if you know the inside history of this, which very few people do, I might add, there's a lot of mythologies, there's a lot of urban myth, but what we have learned is that, in fact, there has not been the ability of government to do this because they have either been threatened when they've tried to find out about it. As you know, the Carter administration was basically shut down in their attempts to find out about this subject in any depth, or they have just simply not known what to make of it. So as a citizen's diplomatic effort, not unlike what Physicians for Social Responsibility did during the Cold War, where, you know, Physicians of the United States began to reach out to Soviet physicians who were concerned about the mutual assured destruction and nuclear war scenario, I, as a physician concerned about peace and also as the well-being of the planet and humanity, decided that we really needed to lead in this area. And that leadership has been acknowledged, and as I said, all the way back to the time of Clinton's presidency. Although he did not have the courage to do anything about this problem, he was very interested in learning about it. And I might say, in defense of his CIA director, Jim Woolsey, he was much more supportive of open disclosure and bringing this this secrecy out and moving this whole subject forward. It was the president who didn't have quite the gumption and courage to do that, but that's another discussion. So what has happened now in the post-2001 disclosure project environment is that this began to get more and more noticed also in other countries, in your country, in Canada, as well as throughout Europe. And a number of governments have approached us to not only write position papers on this, but to advise them and provide information about how we have made contact and to create the entire, if I can use this concept, paradigm and philosophical underpinnings of how this contact should occur and for what purpose. And the purpose is clearly not so that we can, you know, acquire their technology or reverse engineer these interstellar vehicles for creation of new weapon systems on Earth or what have you. All the mistakes of the last 50 years, I point out to people, that's been done already. What has not been done is a major government of the world or several major governments of the world openly attempting to make contact for peaceful diplomatic purposes. And let's start there rather than with all these other mixed agendas. And so that's what we're proposing, and I'm very happy to report that we're getting very good feedback and active support and a commitment to do that. I mean, a very strong commitment.
Well, that's very good news. That's almost the flip side of what other governments, perhaps governments in the plural, certainly the portions of the U.S. government, have been planning and are doing, and that's carrying out and preparing a false flag operation against advanced ethical extraterrestrial civilizations that are approaching our society for what we can see are beneficial reasons. And you have written extensively on this.
If I might interject here, is that the reason I got involved in that aspect of it is that back in the early 90s, I had not one, but about a dozen separate people who did not know each other, who had been inside these classified projects, who knew of various aspects of a plan that has been in place, quite frankly, since the 50s, to simulate a threat to the planet that is an off-planet threat, so that eventually the military-industrial complex and the centralized power system for the Earth could be augmented by fear of the masses of all things, quote, alien. And this was something that was planned many, many decades ago. And what the so-called UFO subculture doesn't realize is that they have embedded within the UFO database a lot of hoaxed events that appear to support that there may be one or more groups of visitors from outer space that are a threat or aren't here for any good purpose. And this has been done with knowledge aforethought, with great planning. It's classic counterintelligence, but also psychological warfare planning. And I have a document from 1953 from the CIA that I got shortly after a meeting with the CIA director that describes that this entire subject would be a rich area to mine for its, quote, psychological warfare value, end quote. And so I think the public has to understand that a lot of the fearsome images and mythologies that have evolved out there have been deliberately placed into the public consciousness as an acclimation project so people eventually would be afraid of these visitors and therefore would support a weaponization of space and a more military approach to the visitors. And this is a long-term, carefully orchestrated plan. And I speak of this, and I'll give you how much detail we have. We have several men who were in on a planning session as of 1974 who had discussed in these planning settings that were interagency as well as corporate the use of what is called in the trade alien reproduction vehicles, or ARVs, that are things that look like UFOs, but they're man-made. They're made at Lockheed, Northrop, and consortium of companies. We know where they're made. We know that they've been in manufacture and prototype stages since the 50s and the early 60s, but that they would use these in the future to simulate an attack on the Earth that would look like it was an extraterrestrial attack so that, sort of like a cosmic Gulf of Tonkin incident, they could then expand the entire weaponization of space by orders of magnitude and unite the world around sort of a military or militaristic approach to the problem. Now, we've been actively discussing this. I know that one of the chief agenda items that I had when I personally met with the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency at the Pentagon was this problem, because he had suspected this was going on, and when he made inquiries through channels, appropriate channels, as a general into this, he was basically told nothing and blocked from getting information. So when I went there with my military and national security advisor for our project, we were there for one of the chief purposes, was to give him a heads up and to give the top brass, who are not in the loop on this, by the way, most of them aren't, that they were at risk for being deceived by a false operation that they would think was extraterrestrial, but was completely man-made. And believe me, what the public doesn't understand is that in the last 60 years, the technological capabilities that are within these classified human projects are such that they could stage events and have been staging events that anyone would swear was, quote, alien, but it isn't. And I think this is one of the things that I have a document from a private institute that's involved with this called the Stagecraft, quote, unquote, involved in doing this. And I think this is one of the things that we have to be careful of as disclosure goes forward, as open contact goes forward, is that there's this other agenda operating that will try to take the momentum of any disclosure event or any contact event by the visitors and spin it in this sort of, oh, the aliens are invading us. You know, it's like on the Discovery Channel or History Week. It's Alien Invasion Week. Everything gets put into this xenophobic and fear-based paradigm. But this is not by accident. This is by plan. And so we have to actively resist this sort of paranoia and xenophobic response to things that we may not fully understand. And so this is why we're very, very cautious about taking into our database things that would appear to be originating from disinformation sources that have a huge vested interest in growing the $1 trillion a year military-industrial laboratory complex into, say, a $5 trillion or a $6 trillion process involving the entire planet by weaponizing and heavily militarizing space affairs. So this is a very serious issue, and it is on the basis of people's perceptions and the psychology of fear of the unknown that they are capitalizing. And I think this is why we have to expose this rogue element, but also warn people not to be taken in by it.
Right. Well, you know, just thinking about this, there have been various ongoing estimates of what the, quote, black budget of the U.S. might be. This is quite apart from the $600 billion plus surface military budget. This
Correct.
Is the budget which is off the books and is estimated at $1.5 trillion on a conservative basis per year. So that this could very well provide funding, as you state, both for the technologies but also for the scenarios of these false flag anti-ET operations.
Right. You're absolutely right. And one of the things, if people go to our website, disclosureproject.org, and also CSETI.org, CSETI.org, they will see that we have a number of position papers that talk about how these things could be unfolded and why we need to watch for this. And I think that one of my concerns right now, I'll be quite honest with you, we're in a disclosure moment right now. You have the governor, former governor of Arizona, admitting that the Phoenix Lights happened and he saw them. We have 100,000 documents being released by the French Space Agency. We have other governments moving forward on other fronts. We have our own contact events, which we'll get into further, taking on greater and greater levels of contact. That, I mean, it's like something out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind that we are personally effecting at these landing events. In fact, we're getting ready to do one of these operations on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And I think that we have to be very careful that as this takes place, that the entire effort doesn't get hijacked into this sort of fearsome war scenario, which the UFO subculture is the prime vector of the disinformation. Ironically, the very people who want to talk about this are also the prime targets and recipients of the virulent disinformation that then gets to the masses so that the fear spin takes on its greatest effectiveness. And this is something that we ethically have to be very aware of and very cautious about, of these sort of Trojan horses coming into this knowledge base, to the database. And I think that this is why we have a lot of responsibility. We're playing with something here that's very powerful. It involves certainly the future of the human race and of Earth and its relationship with other civilizations. And we have to not be cavalier and reckless with the kind of information that comes and assume that everything, that just because it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, that it is a duck, that in fact in the trade of the, you know, intelligence community, when you talk about the sums of money that are used, the big action is in the private corporate sector. And in the private corporate sector is where the real action is on the technologies, the electronics, and even the biologicals, as we call them, the program life forms, which look like, quote, aliens, but are actually man-made creatures that are used in various abduction scenarios and other disinformation campaigns. So I think that given the mass of data that we've collected, we know that it's very easy for this sort of information to be put out in a way that scares people, and that that fear can then be used as a control point. I mean, look what happened in America after 9/11. And then the nation, the whole Congress and the major media were paralyzed with fear. And in that moment, things were able to be done that would never have been able to be done without that atmosphere of fear. So we have to be very careful of this, I think, because we're dealing with information that is incredibly powerful.
We'll be right back. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio. Our audio archives are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We're with Dr. Stephen Greer. Please stay tuned. Welcome. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio, 1480kphx.com. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We're with Dr. Stephen Greer. What sorts of steps can we take, can sort of the conscious public now, which is growing every day, as we all wake up to the role that the permanent war economy is taking, what sorts of steps do you think we can take to begin to spread this awareness?
Well, I think that we have to put out the, quite frankly, at this point, we have a dispositive proof that we are being visited and that they're here. And we should also link that to a vision of now what do we do to make contact that's mutually beneficial and peaceful. But I think we also have to be, in a sense, on guard for the kind of disinformation spin that does happen. I mean, it's very difficult. I give talks to huge audiences all over the world, and it's very hard to talk about this issue without someone getting up hysterically claiming that we're being invaded by aliens and our women folk are being raped and that this is happening and that's happening and all these sort of mythologies. And so what's happened with this subject is that it's impossible to bring it up without it almost instantly, and almost like a free association event, all these other negative images that are disinformation based to come in. So I think we need to clarify that, and I think we need to speak the truth, even if it may not be popular within certain subcultures. Now, I think that this is difficult because what happens with all these things is that they get heavily politicized. You know, I point out to people, I'm not running for office for nothing, I'm not interested in it. What I am interested in is the information and the truth coming out about this, and that it comes out in a way that results in our being able to take positive action for the future. But that's very difficult if the information that proves that we're being visited gets conflated with these fearsome and negative images and mythologies that are the stock and trade of the UFO subculture and most people who discuss this issue. You cannot go to a UFO conference without this kind of hysteria being the dominant theme. And so I think that we have a responsibility to the public to point out this. You know, all the way back to the 1980s, Martin Cannon had put together a 2,000-page dossier that was annotated and thoroughly researched, proving that a lot of these things that people thought were alien abductions were actually military-induced events for their psychological warfare value. I have personally interviewed special ops people, Army Rangers, and others who have been part of these operations to do this to make it look like people had a terrifying encounter with an extraterrestrial when it was 100% human because of its psychological warfare value. So I think that what you find, people say, oh, come on, that sounds more implausible than it being extraterrestrial. The fact of the matter is there is an enormous game being played here, and you've got to be educated on not only what the actual extraterrestrial manifestations are and how they appear, but you also have to be educated about the fact that there is an enormously powerful interest group that would like the world to be afraid of this and to unite around a global military response. And you're correct when you say that there's an enormous black budget, but you know, even in conventional circles, I can tell you that I personally met with the chief counsel for the Senate Appropriations Committee 13 years ago in the winter of 1994, and he personally told me that they were sure that somewhere upwards of $100 billion a year, 13 years ago, was going into operations that were completely off the books, that the Senate Appropriations Committee that ostensibly writes the checks for the U.S. government had no oversight over, and he knew a lot of them were going into these extraterrestrial connected projects, and that he said, with a top secret clearance and subpoena power from the Senate Appropriations Committee, I cannot penetrate those projects. He looked at me and he said, Dr. Greer, you are dealing with the varsity team of all black projects. Good luck. And that's how the meeting ended. But, you know, this is something where this is why I urge caution, but also that we should devise a strategy that not only puts the information out in a way that is educational, but also come up with plans for open contact that is positive and that isn't based on a fear reaction that then plays into the hands of those who want to militarize the relationship, this embryonic relationship between human civilization and these other civilizations from other star systems.
Well, you know, one of the things that struck me about your recent book, Forbidden Knowledge, Hidden Truth, which we'll be covering in a subsequent Exopolitics Radio.
Oh, just a correction. It's called Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm looking at the book here, and I read the bottom of the front page. Yes, sorry.
All right.
Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge. And one of the things that really struck me there from the space weapons point of view, I believe it was the National Reconnaissance Organization, the NRO, one of the U.S. Advanced Space Weapons Agencies, that we know that the extraterrestrial craft, and you'll have to correct my use of language here, have the ability to phase shift in and out of what we can call our third dimension of time-space into a more non-locality, relative non-locality of time-space. And what I read there in your book really was quite eye-opening, that the NRO is actually now developing radars, maybe as a forerunner of developing weapons, but developing radars that can track into the next dimensions over, so that when the extraterrestrial craft actually phase shift to avoid military aggression by the U.S. F-18s and or other, you know, aggressive weapons, they can be tracked. Steve, could I just to clarify one point? From your contacts in the military intelligence world and your research, have you been led to believe that some of these sophisticated anti-extraterrestrial weapons, including possible directed energy weapons, have been placed in space-based platforms?
Yes, I have more than one witness, one dating back to the mid-60s, that have testified for me, and I have their testimony, that they have been up and fully operational since the mid-60s to the point of effectively being able to be a threat. Now, of course, their kill rate, I hate to use that word, is not 100%, but it's gotten better, quote-unquote, if you can call that better or worse, depending on how you look at it, over the last 40 years. So yeah, this is of great concern to anyone who knows this. And I can tell you that while many people may feel that this is like sounds like Star Trek or something, when I've gone to the Pentagon to discuss these issues, the general, the flag officers, as they call them, the admirals and the generals and people like that I've met with, have been deeply concerned about this because, contrary to what is popularly believed, these operations, not only are they rogue and highly compartmentalized, but most of your flag officers and most of Congress and most of our presidents have not had operational control over this. This is a transnational, illegal, rogue, unconstitutional entity, but it has tentacles within these agencies. It has tentacles that reach into the Pentagon and into the Congress. They have tentacles that reach into a lot of the corporate programs that deal with the high-end contracting, military and intelligence contracting world. And it's very disconcerting to once you learn what this story is. And I think the only way out of this conundrum is to disclose the truth and encourage our leadership to take control back for the people of this situation and to make a positive step in the direction of not only disclosing the truth of the subject, but making peaceful contact with these civilizations and these life forms, and to go one step further and to allow for the peace dividend, if you will, of studying this subject in the way of these advanced technologies to be used for peaceful energy generation. One of the reasons that I'm so concerned about this whole issue is that we're at least 50 years into an era when we have not needed surface roads between our cities, and we have not needed to use any oil, gas, or coal, or centralized utilities. But because of the geopolitical petrodollar power base, we have kept this subject secret and these big scientific breakthroughs secret. And this is ruining our world. It's literally the central issue that has caused us to be decamped in the Middle East where we're not wanted, and behind the global warming crisis, and behind the fact that 80% of the world lives in horrific poverty. And there's no way to change that with the zero-sum game of fossil fuels and linear, if you will, energy generation systems. The good news is that we know and can prove that these technologies already exist. They are extant on the Earth and can be used to create an entirely new civilization here. And this is really what Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, my new book, is about, is how, where are we now? And it describes it in detail some people don't want to hear, but where are we going to be? And where are we going to be in 100 years, 1,000 years, 500,000 years? And I see the long-term future of this Earth and humanity as being wonderful. But we have this transition we've got to go through, and it's a big leap to make, and time is running short to make it. I mean, we really should have made this transition 50 to 100 years ago, quite frankly. But, hey, I wasn't alive then, so
right.
We have to
well,
deal with the cards that were dealt, you know, and we're dealt
right.
with these cards, and
well,
so here we go.
I'm going to jump in here, Steve, because we've run out of time in this segment, but
the good news also is that we're going to have you back to talk about some of what you bring forth in your book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge. It sounds very much like what you've said has also bolstered what the former Minister of Defense, Honorable Paul Hellyer, here in Canada, has also been saying. So it's
absolutely, and he and I shared a lot. We've spent a lot of time together discussing these issues, and he's a wonderful man and a friend, and very glad that he's stepping forward. And we need more people like him to do that, and that's, I think we'll be seeing more people like him step forward to help with this effort.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us. This has been a very special guest, Dr. Stephen Greer. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned.
Well, thank you for being with us for another, I call it, deep episode of Exopolitics Radio. We are making waves, we are making progress, and we are part of the cosmic trigger of 2007. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio. Our website is www.1480kphx.com. Now, you can listen to our audio archives at www.exopoliticsradio.com. You can also go there, folks, to get your own autographed copy of the book Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, which is the book that launched the field of exopolitics itself back in the year 2000. I'm your very grateful host, Alfred Weber. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Finis Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX, Progressive Talks Phoenix, and the Nova M Network. Executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director RV Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. From all of us and from myself, Alfred Weber, may you have a wonderful, miracle-filled, and false flag operation-free day, week, and life. Thank you.